This episode is the first in a year-long series about a book called A Year of Self-Love.
Video recordings of this podcast can be found on raisingequity.org and Raising Equity on YouTube.
Hey folks, welcome to this episode of Raising Equity. And so this is actually going to be a 52-week series, a year-long series based on a book, A Year of Self-Love Journal. So, okay, we're doing it. I mentioned this book in my previous podcast, and between the direct messages, the comments, the questions about where to order it, I'm gifting this book to some folks in my life. I just said, well, we might as well just do a virtual book club series. And so this is how I think it's going to go. So the book is set up for 52 weeks and these weekly prompts and practices for loving who you are. And I'll post weekly and we can chat in the comments. And then if there's enough interest, maybe we'll do some live chats and discussions. There's like quarterly check-ins. But that's all I got right now. I just hope that you order the book and join me because I know there are a few of us who are going to be doing this for this year. And yeah, I would love for you to join me on this virtual book club. Even though you might not have your book yet, because most of you don't, I think that there are some things you can do to prepare, right? To ready yourself. So one, you can prepare a place, a space, an area where you'll do the practices. And so that could be a little nook in your room or somewhere in your house that's cozy. Maybe there's a certain candle that you love or a certain picture or something that helps to calm you. And then also think about where the time will come from, how you will schedule the time to do these exercises and this work for yourself like you would an appointment. Right. So if you scheduled a doctor's appointment, you're not going to just no-show on your doctor. Because why? Because that's care for you, because you care about yourself enough to figure out what's going on. Because nowadays, some doctor's offices will actually kick you out of their practice if you no-show. Right. So you're going to keep that appointment. I want you to think about this appointment with yourself to do the exercises in this book similar to that appointment. So start thinking about where can you set aside the time and protect it. Right? When I was first starting, well, not first, maybe, I don't know, for the fifth time in my life, starting to reintegrate exercise and movement into my life as like a daily practice, I used to do it first thing in the morning to like pay myself first. I used to set out my workout clothes the night before so there was no excuses. I'd roll out of bed, put on the clothes, go to the thing, right? And it helped me not have an excuse to go do it because I knew that I wanted to do that for myself. And so, you know, if doing these sorts of like self-reflection, journaling, those sorts of reflections feel self-indulgent to you, like not, they may be foreign to you, not like they're, maybe like they're not worth the time. Oh, they're frivolous. You're going to need to figure out where to put it in your life to protect the time because you haven't quite prioritized it yet for yourself. And so similar to what I did around working out, like maybe you do it first thing in the morning so that you're doing the thing that you want to do for yourself, even though it's hard, you're being disciplined enough to do it first thing. Or maybe there's a time of day that you know you have some downtime and you might, if you don't schedule this, you might end up just scrolling that time away. So start to prepare your mind and your space for this book, for this journal. And I'll actually give you a sneak peek into the first week's mantra. The first week's mantra is, I am willing to learn how to love myself. I am worthy of unconditional love. So even before you have your book, you can be thinking about this mantra. And that, I mean, that's a whole word right there, right? So you can chew on that until you get your book. Maybe you even, you know, go to that space and reflect on that journal prompt that you're willing to love yourself and that you're worthy of unconditional love. And you can start to do that before you formally get the book and can dive into the exercises. You can think about, you know, what does it look like to love myself? What does that look like in terms of actions? What things do I do when I love myself? What does that look like to show up for myself? What's keeping me from doing those things in my life, in my daily life, and what's kept me from doing them in the past? So just to reflect on like, what are some of those barriers? And then thinking about how you can be proactive about addressing those barriers. And then another question that I was thinking of as I was thinking about this mantra is, how have you either wished for unconditional love from someone else in your life or showered someone else with unconditional love, but not given it to yourself? And I say that because sometimes we don't say the words, I'm not worthy of unconditional love, but we do the actions of not acting as if we're worthy of unconditional love by assuming it has to come from other people, or giving, giving, giving to other people and not slowing down and loving ourselves enough to give to ourselves. So I want you to think about those things as you prepare for this 52 weeks. And if you listened to my last podcast, part of the reason why this book came back up in my life was that I was reading Audre Lorde's book, A Burst of Light, and her essays that she wrote as she was navigating cancer. And she talks about her quote where she talks about self-care not being self-indulgent, but being an act of political warfare. It really got me thinking, and I talk a little bit more about that in my last episode, about how we frame self-care when we are doing bigger movement work. And I will say, I think that in this moment in our country's history, in the United States, and actually in the world's history, it's very important for us to think about how we cultivate individuals who love themselves enough to unlock their potential and to be their best selves, because everyone has a lane and everyone has a way to contribute to the change that they believe needs to be in the world. And I truly do believe that it's important to love ourselves enough to stop doing whatever harmful thing we're doing to ourselves, or to do whatever beneficial thing we need to do for ourselves so that we can show up and be our best selves in the work. And I mean the work, meaning like whether it's liberation work or movement work, work to make the world a better place, work in community with other folks, work as a caregiver to either a child or an elder person in our lives, the work we do to better our community, our neighborhood, that sort of work that's about our shared humanity. And it made me think about the shift in my own work. I am trained as a clinical psychologist, and so individual level work has always been a part of my training. And I have always also had a, whether sociological perspective or like a systems perspective, approach to my work. So some of you might know me from the work that I've done with institutions, organizations, whether nonprofit, corporate, media, entertainment, financial, insurance, like all sorts of institutions, schools, K through 12, higher ed that I've worked with. But my heart really is also in how individuals make up those systems, and those systems have their way of being, right? But my real like pull into psychology was thinking about how we support individuals. And so given how our world always has this ebb and flow of like, we're going to do institutional work, we have the will to do it, oh no, we don't, I have been reminded that that individual work is always a part of who I am. And so it's been a long time since I've had my individual practice open, but I've recently opened my practice up to individual clients. And it's remind me of those points in my life where I've done that work and how it has fed me and how important it is for individuals to be willing to slow down, to reflect on themselves, and to pour into themselves enough to do the work that they want to do in the world. So quick story. After Mike Brown was murdered in 2014 in St. Louis, activists in St. Louis protested for over a year, daily protests over a year. And my work during that time was with a number of organizations, the Association of Black Psychologists, different organizations, movement organizations in the city. But from that individual level perspective, there were lots of folks who wanted mental health treatment. And there were lots of folks who realized they didn't know how to support Black folks who were in the midst of this pain and rage post Mike Brown's murder. And so there was a conversation, not really, but Black psychologists in St. Louis were watching a number of organizations just flood Canfield, the neighborhood where Mike Brown was murdered and lived, and the surrounding St. Louis area with all these resources for mental health support. And then pretty quickly, these organizations realizing that the individuals who were caring for them did not have the capacity to actually serve or support these individuals. And so it made me start to think about how traditional ways of healing often don't support folks in a culturally relevant way. And then at the same time, because I was in relationship with folks doing activist work, I ended up being a support person for a lot of folks who were activists. And I saw them day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, show up. And it was awesome, literally in like the basic sense of the word awesome. I was in awe. And I also was worried about them. Because if you think about it, we would never expect or applaud soldiers going into battle day after day, week after week, month after month for over a year. Like, we would know, like, that's going to lead to burnout. That's going to lead to problems. They need to take care of themselves, right? But we were watching activists do this. And so I shared this story to say that there's been this like push and pull around movement work of like, I have to do it all. I have to give my all. I have to do everything I can do. Wait, no, I also have to take care of myself. And I've seen through my work with whether it's like generative somatics or other sort of somatic body practices that have been used by different activist organizations to try to think about how do we care for the organization and the individual, or working with activists individually, I've seen people really grapple with like, how do we do movement work in this next generation without driving people to burnout, without literally driving people into the ground because we're putting them at the front lines over and over and over and over and over again. And so I've been really curious with my traditional psychology background and thinking about how can we use what we know, but in a more culturally appropriate and relevant way to support individuals who are engaged in movement and liberation work today, who don't want to recreate the crash and burn of the past. And that's part of why I picked up this book after I was reading Audre Lorde's Burst of Light, because she talked about self-care as this act of warfare. And I've been thinking about how individuals often don't love themselves enough to think they're deserving of the self-care and deserving of the time. And in this broader ecosystem, we've seen work around like rest is resistance. We've seen different books and mantras around, you know, that rest is revolutionary, all of that, which it is. And I also don't see people en masse really metabolizing that. I hear people repeating it and saying it, but not quite embodying it on a daily basis. And so this journey for myself, for you, is to help us think about how we can cultivate self-love enough to listen to what we need to be able to do that political act of warfare that Audre Lorde talked about, so that we can show up for whatever cause we are passionate about and for whatever community we are a part of. All of that to say, welcome to this virtual book club series. And thanks to those who responded to the post, because I really was just sharing it because the books look so pretty on my desk as I was waiting for the semester to start and life to start back up so that I could see people and hand them out. And I thought, well, hey, there's some interest around this. Why not do this? We could all use a little bit more self-love. And it'll also keep me accountable as I move through this book this year, because I had bought it because I know the author and she's a close friend, and started it, but not finished it. And so just like I'm saying to you, I think we all need to, you know, have that discipline and that practice of engaging in self-love and prioritizing ourselves. It's the same for me. It's a practice. So thanks for joining me on the practice. As I mentioned, you can pick up the book to join the series, and hopefully you follow me, Dr. Kira Banks, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, and thanks for joining me on Raising Equity.